I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to The Compound, hosted by Ian Happ.
It's a grand slam for Ian Happ. What a play, Ian Happ, into the Ivy.
And Dakota Mekas.
6'7", 250-pound Mekas. Swing and a miss, struck him out.
Welcome back to The Compound Podcast. This is episode 273 of The Compound Podcast, presented by Parse Brum, our friends at Parse. Go to Binny's, go to your local Binny's, the nearest one to you, go to Binny's. You're going to go into the rum section, you're going to look for Parse Rum, you're going to look for our friends at Parse, you're going to send us a photo. Send some jerseys out, you're going to send us a photo, send it to Tom, send it to the social medias, and then we'll get you a little Parse jersey out there.
Did you send those jerseys out?
I sent those jerseys out.
Look at you go. Attaboy.
Like you're out there.
Like you just the right amount of time, some say.
To our friends who sent photos, we appreciate it. Jerseys are in the mail.
Paul Martin has earned this jersey. Paul Martin's been waiting months for this. And just so everyone knows, I've been ready to send it. Ian just hasn't sent it.
We're not pointing fingers.
I got tagged in a tweet of Ian walking into the ballpark. First of all, just had the biggest RBF for those that resting face. Walking in, and he was like carrying two Parse Rum jerseys. I was like, I know where those are going. It was like, it's about time.
Yep, we got it done though.
How about you just walk with a smile though? You know, let's
I'm focused. I got places to be. I got things to do.
You're walking into the park. What are you focused on?
Get some knocks. What do you mean?
That's right. You're walking. You're walking a lot lately.
I'm walking. Cubbies are on the West Coast. Cubbies had a nice start to the West Coast trip. Took three from the Angels. It's a good series. You had close game. Pete, late homer in the ninth inning. Danny shut it down. We had a big win. Second game of the series. Everybody contributed, did their thing. And then another one, close one on Sunday. Found a way to win 4-3.
This is a random poll, but in your second at bat against Hendricks, was he called for a pitch clock violation? I wasn't watching with sound on, but it was a curveball right down the middle. They just called it a ball?
Yep.
That was right down the middle. I didn't have sound on. I go, oh, it must have been like a clock violation.
It was right down the middle.
Were you just like, what, sir?
I know Kyle so well. It was like, I knew he didn't want to throw me strikes. He doesn't throw his curveball that much, but I knew he didn't want to throw me strike spin. But there was probably going to be a time when he wouldn't be afraid to start me with it because he knows the likelihood of me swinging at a first pitch curveball is low. And he threw it. And as soon as it popped out of his hand, I legitimately was like smiling because like as soon as it popped out of his hand, I was like, oh, there it is. Dumper. And then he balled it. And Kyle couldn't believe it. And Darno couldn't believe it. And I couldn't believe it. And
that's when we almost want to turn and be like, sir, like I accept it. Like, that's a strike.
That's right down the middle.
That's literally right down the middle. I was so confused. Like I said, I was watching on mute and I was like, something must have happened. Like, I must have missed something. Cause I saw it was like a 2-0 count. I was like, there's no way that pitch, that one pitch was right there.
And you know, Kyle out there, there's no emotion. So he's not going to be like, he's not going to chirp him. But he was like, what?
And you walked on four pitches and the last pitch was like a ball off the plate. And I think it's the most Kyle Hendricks ever showed up an ump. He kind of like caught the ball back and froze for like half a second and then turned around. Like, that's him showing up an ump. Is like, if he looks for just a half second longer, he's like, I don't like that call.
His pitches, I mean, he threw me, that was a four. He threw me two fours. And that four seam, just because it moves so much less than his sinker, it feels like it's so much closer and they're going to call it a strike, but it was, it was far enough off that.
Oh, it was definitely a ball. It was just funny that he froze for like a second. And I was like, Hendricks getting a little attitude out there.
Yeah. He threw me the 2-2 in the first at bat with close to, it was a strike in the box, but the box is a little high. So in our system, it was a ball up, but it was a really close 2-2 pitch. Like,
did you get to talk to him at all? Say, hey, I miss you.
I didn't get to talk to him on the field during the week, but I get to was texting with him after, and just, he's awesome. It was funny. I was coming around third, and yeah, I was like, 2-2 is pretty close there. And he's just typical Kyle. Like, I'm scared of you.
The nicest guy ever.
Yeah, the nicest guy ever.
People forget I have his phone number. It's no big deal. I can text him anytime I wanted. It's no big deal. I got Schwarber's too. Anybody wants them, let me know. Highest bidder. Kidding. What? Kidding. What? Kidding. 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 It's a joke.
I feel like it wasn't, though. I feel like if someone really hits you up with a high number in your DM,
if someone throws like a $1,000, like, Kyle Schwarber's number's getting sent. Sorry.
Okay. Sorry, Schwarber. Let's not. We're not doing that.
All right. Fine. 5,000.
We're protecting identities.
I mean, it's just his number. He can get a new phone.
We're really finding out what number Dakota's willing to sell his morals out at. Well, it's not high of a number, it turns out.
Here's how it would go. Someone would offer me $5,000 for it. I would then contact Schwarber and say, you got to pay me $6 for me not to send it.
Just ran into his number. That's great.
It's a bidding war. It's smart move. Kidding. I would never do that to any of my friends. Kyle Schwarber, close personal friend of mine.
It was weird to see Hendricks in that uniform. I obviously don't have the association with him that a lot of Cubs fans do, but it just looked kind of gross. I was just like, I don't like this. Because I was cutting an interview with him on Friday in all the Angels gear, and I was like, just can we give him a Cubs hat? Just like, let him wear a Cubs hat and an Angel sweatshirt. Let him wear both. What was it like to face him, though, Ian? It had to be kind of weird to be on the opposite side after playing behind him for so long.
It's very weird. I haven't had to do it much. Just being one organization so long, like, obviously, I've had to face guys that I've played with for like a year, like some bullpen guys that I've played with for like a year, but nobody that I've played with for that amount of time. I had to face Lester only like once or twice. And then, yeah, Kyle, I think he's the only other guy, Quintana, but like guy that I've played with for like a long, long time that I know that well. And so, yeah, just like going up to the box, like he nodded and smiled, and like, that's like very out of my comfort zone and his comfort zone to do, I think. And so just like that, like mutual respect. And like, I've faced him a little bit in 20. And like one time I was looking back, like one time in 21 spring, like I haven't faced him all that much. It's not like I've faced him like every year, a bunch of times in live BPs. And he's got, he definitely every live BP, he's gotten me out every time. Like I was looking at it like either a punch out or like just a weak pop up on his changeup, like every time. And so I went into the at bat and I was like, I'm refusing to chase off away. Like I won't. I'm not doing it. I'm not swinging a pitch outside. I'm not doing it. He can't make me. He did make me. I swung at one changeup in the other batter's box, but I was like, I'm being super, super stubborn. I knew he didn't want to throw me a hip shot, like a two seam that started in. Like I knew he might use it at some point, but he really didn't want to, just because like he knows me and he knows that I'd be looking for that pitch the whole bat. So I was just trying to be like super stubborn to like, if something showed up in, I'd swing at it. But yeah, that was kind of my game plan. It's like, I know him so well. I've seen too many guys chase the soft stuff out over. And like, I was like super, super disciplined to it. And he came close to executing that 2-2 in the first at bat, four seam that held its line on the outer edge. It was just like literally a ball above the zone. It was really close, but
it's always funny when you face someone, you know, because you're like, he knows I'm looking for that hip shot, but then is it like he knows that I know that he's looking for it, so maybe then I can throw it? Like, it's kind of the back and forth of like, well, if Ian is looking for it, he'll know I know he's looking for it, so then maybe I can throw it because he knows I want to go change up away.
That's
so
what I was thinking,
mind game,
dude. When I was game planning for him, I was like, okay, we could do this one of two ways. I can think he knows that I know that he knows that I know that I know what he's trying to do.
Yeah.
And I know what he's trying to do. So I can try to double trick.
Yep. Yep. The old double trick.
I can just treat him like he's like, I don't know him. I'm going to look at the sheet like I don't know him. And that's what I tried to do. I tried to use what I know about him and then just say like, here's the sheet. Here's what he throws. Here's his percentages. And like, I'm just going to be super, super stubborn. And so I literally swung at one pitch.
Oh, for 0 with two walks? You only faced him twice, right? Yeah.
Yeah, twice.
Yeah. Nice. But it
was good to see him out there, and like, he's a Cubs Hall of Famer, man.
It was cool when he got a standing O, like from the Cubs fans that were there, like kind of cheering. Obviously, I mean, he didn't do bad by any means, but I don't think it was like the outing he wanted. He got taken out with like bases loaded. So I don't think it was the time for him to really acknowledge the crowd, but you know that he like appreciates that. And that was pretty cool to see like all the Cubs fans out there still like, I mean, you have to love the guy. He's part of the 16 team. Like it is cool that anyone that was ever on that 16 team is like, no matter where they go, they're loved. Like Cubs fans will always love them no matter what.
Yeah, and he's top 10 at a bunch of like franchise pitching stats. Like he's
so good for so long for the Cubs.
Yeah, and he did throw well. The fifth inning, it just kind of got to a place where they took him out, and then we were able to put up a couple runs on Chafin that were, unfortunately, they were Kyle's runs. But he did throw well, and he kept guys off balance.
He's also kind of unique by baseball player standards, right? Very cerebral. I mean, obviously, went to Dartmouth, nicknamed the professor. Like, even compared to other guys from that 16 team, there's something about his ability to kind of speak and speak to the media and speak to some of those different things that is a little bit unique compared to other guys, I think.
Well, I think, like, maybe underappreciated in those 15, 16 years just because of what Arrieta and Lester were doing at the same time. You know, Kyle led the league in ERA. It was either 15 or 16. He led the league in ERA. I think it was 16.
I believe it was 16.
And you know, the game 7 start obviously is massive. And just like one of those things that every Cubs fan will remember forever is him taking the ball in game 7.
It's the perfect epitome of Kyle Hendricks too. Was that game 7 and like his reaction to getting taken out. Like he's just so calm and demeanor. Like Javi's trying to juice him up, he's just got like a little smirk and he just walks off the mound, gives like a little wave to the crowd. He's like, okay, all right, that's good, I threw good. He's so calm at all times. He's the man. He's literally I say it about a lot of guys, but he is the epitome of like what you think he is watching him on TV and how he acts. Like that is who Kyle Hendricks is. Like he's
in 16 he had a 2.13 and led the league in ERA.
Is that good?
Finished third in the Cy Young that year.
Is that good? I think it's pretty good.
Kind of represents an older model of pitcher in terms of doesn't obviously have the most overwhelming stuff, but just knows how to pitch and knew how to get guys out, even if he didn't always have his A stuff.
I mean, he's just super 86-88. He used to like run it up to like 92, didn't he? Like back in his head, maybe 90, maybe around 90.
More like 90, yeah.
But he was also, I've said this, I feel like, many times on this podcast now, but his bullpens were so fun to watch. Like, he can literally put the ball wherever he wants it. He can make his changeup move three different ways and put it wherever he wants it. Like, it's impressive to watch him throw a baseball.
Yeah. Yeah. That 16 postseason started 5 games, had a 1.42. That's 16 postseason.
That'll do. That'll play.
It's very good.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Also, that series brought us the return of Kyle Tucker. He's back.
Couple three home runs from Tuck.
He's back. It's what the fans needed to see. It is. I don't know. I'm trying to remember. Have you ever had like you've obviously had tough stretches, but have you ever had like a tough stretch where then you were sat down for a few days as kind of like a mental break, and like the difference that can make to you having those days off?
Yes.
Not the 19 season when you were sent to the bushes
for a break. This year.
Unfortunately, yeah, I had it this year. I got taken out of a leadoff spot and sat down for a day, and I was going through like a 2 for 40 stretch last year. I was struggling at the beginning of the year, had 2 games off in Atlanta. Rossi did it to me in 21. So yeah, like I've had it. It's tough.
Do you find it beneficial?
I think watching baseball for a day can be helpful. I think it is still frustrating. But just getting away and like watching 9 innings with no expectation is I think guys need that throughout the season. I think Joe was really good at giving guys days, not because somebody was struggling, but like, hey, we have a Sunday day game. We have a night game Saturday, Sunday day game, off day Monday. And he would give Riz or KB, like somebody like that would get a day. And it was basically like you're not going to play. Like, we're going to find a way to win without you today. And then you're going to get 48 hours like on your body, on your mind. And he would do that a couple times a year for those guys. And I think it did go a long way in just like the mental reset type of thing.
Is it something where, like, maybe not for KB and Riz in those situations, I'm sure it still was, but like, was it something for you? And I guess, I don't know if you know, but like for Tucker, where it was like, hey, even if a righty comes in the ninth and we're down one run, like you're not pinch hitting. Like, is it like, hey, like under no circumstance, unless there's, knock on wood, 3 injuries, like you're not going into this baseball game.
Yeah. I mean, that's what, in my experience, like that's what those days have been like for me. It's like, we're not going to use you. Like you're going to don't hit today. Like when it's a 2-day thing, it's like, don't hit today. Take the day, clear your head. Tomorrow, get in the cage, hit a little bit, feel it a little bit. We're not going to use you, and then be ready to go in 2 days. And like, because you're a big part of the team, we're going to need you, but like you need a couple of days. That's the hardest thing about baseball, is it's every day, and it grinds on you, and like you can feel like you're making changes and nothing's working, and so like the mental reset of it can be big. There was one in 22 right after the trade deadline. It was just like, it just been a lot going on between the trade deadline and not knowing what was going to happen, and like the stress of it all, that we had a doubleheader in St. Louis, and I was grinding a little bit for like, I don't know, a week or two, and was just, it felt like, I don't know, just, it felt like it was there. I was like in just a bad place and needed to watch baseball for 9 innings, and Greeny and Rossi like just gave me the second day of the doubleheader, second game of the doubleheader, just to like watch. It's like, you're not going to play, you just watch. Yeah. And it was such a nice mental reset, and then went right back out and like 2 or 3 days in a row with like 2 hits. It was just like, you can just take a deep breath.
That might be one of the harder things to like decide to do as a manager, like especially with like star players. Like, you want them in your lineup, and you know, like you never, I don't think you would ever go to a manager and be like, hey, I need a day, because like at the end of the day, you still think every at bat you're in there, you're like, I could still hit my way out of this. Like, I could go hit a homer this at bat and I'm right back. So it's tough to like accept like, hey, I know I need this, but like I could still help the team. I need to still be in the lineup. So it does take like a mindset to be like accepting of that, of like, maybe this is for the best in the long run that I take these 2 days and kind of get back on track.
Yeah. And I think like I've always struggled with in the middle of the season, like if I feel good in May and we have like off days built in, being like, well, I don't want to take a day off. But yeah, you realize after a while, you realize that like just taking one day in May, how much it can do for you, for your body, and like for your mind over the course of the season, just taking like one day every 3-4 weeks, like how much that can do for you.
Yeah. It's tough. It's a long season.
I mean, mentally has to be the huge thing, right? I mean, that's the toughest part. I was talking with somebody last night who was saying that, I asked them how many baseball games they thought the Cubs played this season. They said 100. And I was like, it's 162. And I don't think people, like, especially people who aren't that locked into the season, realize, like, I remember we were talking about a marquee when you guys finished that series in San Diego. It was like, ah, they're not going back to the West Coast till August, whatever. And now here we are. Now it's August, whatever, and you guys are back on the West Coast, and it feels like that was 5 minutes ago, but that was 4 months ago. That was April or whatever. But it's crazy how in a baseball season, time kind of warps in a weird way, and that you can't really describe unless you've gone through it.
Yeah, and we've played, we've played 130 some games already.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Crazy.
Like it
You
is
played
just,
130 games in 142 days, basically.
yeah, it's bananas.
Cubbies, though, make a push, make it a push, get back in that
Was, yeah,
division.
I mean, it was just that series, the Milwaukee series was just really good baseball. Like we just, we lost the first game big, obviously, and then after that, like just four really good baseball games, winning three out of five, like five game set in 4 days is, doesn't matter who you're playing, that's a crazy schedule.
Yeah.
And so to be able to win that series, come out of that with 3 wins, it was great. I felt like we really played like our brand of baseball the whole time. And then being able to go to LA and win three in a row like that, just like, I don't know what you're laughing at. I don't know what's funny to you,
I don't know
Dakota.
why I always love when you go into PR Ian mode of like, we played our brand of baseball. Like, that's Cubs baseball. I'm not knocking it. It's just funny because you're such a pro. You've done this so
No, it
long.
just,
You
there
know
is
the
like,
buzzwords.
there is, this team has an identity of
Correct.
patient at bats. We have a mix of guys that walk and swing it. We have really good base runners, and we pitch and we play defense. And like the wind was blowing in for 5 days. It was a tough run scoring environment. Like we weren't going to score a bunch, and we did a really good job of just playing very sound defense. Like they hit some balls hard right at people, but we didn't give them like, we didn't give them opportunities, I guess. Like we didn't give them 4 outs in an inning. We just did a really good job of playing kind of that type of baseball that is just, if you're going to beat us, you got to do it on
Yeah.
your turn. Like you're going to have to beat us straight up. We're not going to give you anything. And so we did a good job of that.
Can
The
I give a
pitching.
shout out to I have to, since I was trying to trade for his replacement, I think I have to acknowledge when he does really well, Matt Shaw. He's been one of your guys' best hitters, obviously, since the trade deadline.
Eat your words, Tom.
Listen, that's why I'm coming here to eat my words. But I think the more impressive thing is how sharp he's looked defensively at third, especially in those balls coming in. Not a traditional third baseman, kind of came up as a second baseman shortstop. And for him to look as comfortable as he has at third, I think has really been huge for you guys to kind of nail down that spot. And it allows Willie to kind of go out and be that super utility guy all over the place, which has been a lot of fun to watch too.
Yeah, I think his, obviously the bat since the All-Star break has been great for Maddie, but the defense kind of all the way has been super impressive. Yeah, and then Willie Castro and Owen, like Owen had a great series in that Milwaukee series, but had a good day off the bench the other day in Anaheim. Like hits the ball hard, played sneaky good defense in right field in the Milwaukee series, and then yeah, I just think Willie Castro's ability to bounce around, play multiple spots and like give you a professional at bat. Like those things go a long way. And like super pro in the dugout too. Willie's super pro.
He's the perfect bench guy. Like, he's literally like your prototypical, like, hey, we have a guy that can play everywhere. He's also a switch hitter, and he's going to give you like good at bats when he's up there. Like, he's
Yeah.
the perfect fit.
I think we talked about it last week. Jameson's
Yeah.
start against Milwaukee, but like coming off the IL and going 90 pitches, pretty impressive. And then he had another great one in Anaheim, just giving us 5 innings, going out there and shoving, and like gave up a homer in the first, and then nothing after that. Like just,
Yeah, he gave up like the solo shot to Taylor Ward, and then I think it was lights out from there. It's a good pitcher. It's a good guy to have.
good pitcher. We're in San Fran right now. It's this time of year. It's August. It's almost September. It's August 26th. It's cold. It's gonna be cold. I'm gonna be wearing
Okay.
sleeves tonight, and that's what happens when you go to San Fran, and that's
What
crazy.
what's the temperature, Ian? What's the temperature so people can hear what's cold? Remember, you live in Chicago.
No, no.
I know you go to Texas for the winter,
Welcome to
but like,
Pittsburgh.
well, he's not really from
But it
Pittsburgh.
is San Fran in the summer. It's a beautiful 70 some degrees in Chicago right now, but we're in San Fran, and the low tonight is 59, and it's going to be at game time, it's going to be 63 with wind blowing. By the end of the game, it's going to be 60 with wind blowing, and it's going to be cold. And that's just a crazy thing about playing in San Fran in the summer. And I just, Every time we come here, I have to say it. It's a crazy thing.
It's also funny you mentioned how it's August, like end of August. Zach texted something the other day, and I don't think he listened, so he won't get mad I say this. He texted me something and goes like, I'm at the point where I hate every single one of my teammates. Obviously, he doesn't actually, but he's like, just everyone's annoying me. And I was like,
Day 200.
August, man, happens every year.
Day 200. You're seeing guys for 200 straight days. Day 200 hits, and it's like, man.
Trace Thompson was the first person to say that to me. He's like, angry August. He's like, by the time August rolls around, you've been around these boys a long time. You're with each other every single day for 6 months, 7 months. And it's like, all right, you used to be my best friend, but now I kind of hate you. Like, you're just annoying me today. Like, it happens. It just happens to everybody. It is what it is.
It is a hilarious part of sharing a small space with the same people for,
especially if your team's losing, like when, like in the minors, like we'd have years where like we just weren't good, and it's like, which means not everyone's playing great, so like people are just mad about their own performances, like you keep losing games. Obviously, like in the big leagues, things will turn in September when you guys are in a playoff hunt, a division run, and you're like, hey, like we still like each other, like we're still friends, I still like you guys.
It's funny in the big leagues too. Just, we have a great group that everybody likes each other, which makes it so much easier. But the difference between being on a team where in September you know the season's about to end,
yeah,
and being on a team in September where you're like pushing and everybody is pulling for like the same thing and like a long October run, like it's just, it's very different. I was just thinking about looking back on like the AAA season used to end first week of September.
Yeah. It'd be done now, like a week.
Yeah, now it goes all the way through like the third week of September, right?
It's crazy it took this long for them to figure out like, hey, the guys that could get called up, we should probably have them keep playing. I guess there used to be like no roster limits in September. They just
call everybody up, yeah.
But it's like, hey, like, but it took a few years after that where they were like, wait a second, like we shouldn't have to send these guys to our spring training facility to like stay ready.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like throwing live BPs, like they should just keep playing games while the big leagues are playing games.
Yeah. It is kind of crazy. Yeah, it was the AAA season was 5 months and the big league season was 6 months. And it was like, that doesn't make a ton of sense.
No. I missed the full rosters. Maybe I would have made it. Maybe I would have made it, man. They just let everyone up. I blame you, Ian. You were part of those negotiations.
Okay.
You shrunk it. You didn't want me to make it. You tried to hold me back.
And we'll be right back. Tom, you got a couple topics for us. What do you got?
This has been on my list for a while, so I don't have a specific example necessarily, but this has happened a couple times. We've seen some flare-ups. Interesting discussion about stealing versus decoding signs. We've seen a lot of teams this year down in second base, guys maybe making some motions, guys back to the batter. Just curious what you guys think in terms of where's the line between what's competitive advantage and what's maybe not allowed.
I've got two things that aren't allowed. Technology in the game. If you're like between, like if you're looking at film, like in the morning and you see something that like a pitcher does or whatever, like a catcher does this and it means curveball's coming, like that's fair game. Like don't do that. But I think like obviously in the game, you can't be using technology. I don't even think like, Ian, isn't there like a delay in when you can even see stuff now?
And they cut all the video so you can't see anything.
Yeah. And then the other one is like if the other one I don't like is if the first or third base coach is like trying to get an angle. Obviously, catchers don't put down signs anymore. But like back in the day, there used to be times when like they would try to get like a peek into the catcher. And I'm like, I don't like that. But as far as like a guy on second base, I mean, be better. Like if you're the pitcher, don't let him see the grip in your glove. Like that's part of the game.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I think like if your grips are out there or you're doing something that's different between two pitches, like that's on you.
100%.
And if a team's good enough to be out there, see it, get their hitter the sign, like that's completely fair game. Like there's no more technology. There's nothing coming from the dugout anymore. Like, if you can see it from second base or wherever, like, that's part of the game.
It's funny to me how mad pitchers are getting about it nowadays, too. I'm like, it's your fault. Like, hide it better. I used to come set with, like, my glove open facing back towards second base. And I had, I think it was in, like, short season. The pitching coach was like, hey, I would, like, come set with your glove, like, facing towards your body, hiding the ball better. Because, like, if I went to change up, it's, like, my whole hand's enveloping the ball. Like, it's pretty easy to see that. He's like, it's just not worth even risking someone being able to pick that up. So that's why I don't understand, like, if pitchers are going to, like, their splitter grip too early, like, don't do that. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, it's your own fault.
Yeah, if guys are rotating if guys are rotating the ball, or, you know, they're coming set in a different spot, like, one's high, one's low, like, that's on you.
100%. I agree. I don't know why pitchers are, like, there's been many instances of, like, the pitchers being mad that base runners are doing it. And I'm like, it's your own fault. Like, you can change what you're doing so that they can't pick it up. Like, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's also kind of on the team, your own team. Like you said, like, if your hands are up here under your chin for fastball and they're, like, center of your chest for changeup, like, I would hope my own team is seeing that on my film and being like, hey, like, we can pick this up, which means other teams are definitely picking this up because they're looking for it every game.
What do you think, Tom?
Yeah, I mean, my thought on that's always been, if you don't like it, play better. Like, it's the ultimate. If you don't like it, play better, and then you don't have to worry about it. It's a competitive game, and I think especially with the pitchers, in terms of, like, sometimes setting here means, you know, like, sometimes you pick up little cues of, oh, the guy sets at his chest versus setting at his belt. It means one thing versus another. Like, oh, if he sets at his chest, it's gonna be a fastball. That's just like, that's tipping, you know, whatever you want to call that, that's a tip. The other team figures it out and there's a trend and they're able to figure it out. That's a tip. So, like, I don't really understand any of the anger at all, but I do think, Dakota, I love Angry August. It's not a term that I think I've heard before, but it does describe the post All-Star break. I mean, they call it the dog days of summer for a reason. It does feel like in August is when it's when everyone's at their hottest. You're on the road, especially in the minors and stuff. You can talk about, Dakota, like, I think for the big league guys, it's a little bit easier because they don't have to spend quite as much time with each other. But, like, sometimes, you know, you lose a game in, you know, Winston-Salem, and then you got to take a bus 12 hours somewhere else. And now you're like, we just got swept. Everyone hates everyone. And now we're on this bus for 12 hours together. That's when, like, Angry August really comes out to play.
Especially in the lower levels when you know, like, all right, I'm in high A. Like, I'm not getting called up to the big leagues. It's August. Like, it's just, it is what it is. So you're like, I just got to grind this out. Like you said, you get done with a game. Like, you might have just lost. Maybe you threw bad or went 0-4. You're like, now I got to go sit on a bus for 8 hours and listen to these same guys talk that I've been hearing talk for 5 months. I hate all these guys. Like, they're the worst. It just all adds up. Like, it boils to a point when, like, you're like, I just kind of want to go home. Like, I remember my off seasons about a month into being home. I couldn't wait to get back to baseball. And then by August, you're like, you know, being home doesn't sound too bad. Like, I don't know if I want to keep playing much longer this year, because it's been a while that I've been out here. But back to the sign stealing thing, I remember, like, in Toledo, they didn't have bullpens, so we'd be in the dugouts, the pitchers. And it was one of my favorite things to do, was to try to pick up, like, the first and third base coach signs. Like, if they were trying to give a sign for bunt or steal, I would just, like a hawk, stare at that guy. And that's just part of it. You know what I mean? Like, if your signs are obvious, it's the same in the big leagues, I'm sure, Ian. Like, if their signs are obvious that they're stealing, like, you're going to relay that to somebody. Like, I don't know how, but be better. Like Tom said, like, if you don't like it, play better. Like, if people are picking your signs, that's a you problem. Like, fix it.
100%. And that's part of the game. Like, and if you have somebody on your side that's awesome at picking up signs, like, it's an advantage.
It is funny that there are people that are really good at it. Like, there's some guys that it's like, oh, I got it. I got it right away. And I'm like, how? And he did 20 signs in 0.5 seconds. I didn't even see anything.
Yeah, how'd you do that?
You're special.
Well, it is funny. I mean, you guys know that, like, it's funny watching the signs, having been a part of a few teams where I knew the signs, that 90% of what's going on in the signs is irrelevant. You're looking for one thing most of the time. Everything else that's going on is just nonsense.
Well, there's usually, Ian, I don't know, obviously don't give any of your signs away, but, like, I don't know.
It's like an indicator. It's
more, yeah, there's usually an indicator of, like, all right, if I don't touch my nose, then nothing matters. And it's like, all right, it's usually whatever happens right after the nose is what the sign is, or if like it's like the second sign after the nose if they're trying to get tricky. So it's just all about making sure they don't get picked, which I feel like nowadays that doesn't really get picked as often, but it's more the pitchers kind of showing the ball to the runner on second, where you're like, hey man, like just hide it in your glove better. It's not that hard.
Yeah.
So interesting story coming out about the World Baseball Classic for next year. Netflix looks like they're going to get the streaming rights for it. It'll be in Japan next year, the finals. Part of MLB's, this hasn't come to fruition yet. This is based on some reporting from Front Office Sports in a few different places. No deal's been officially announced, but that's been the reporting, is that it's looking like the Home Run Derby also going to go to Netflix. And then Peacock and NBC are going to probably buy Sunday Night Baseball right now. And then ESPN is going to get involved in MLB.tv. So that's looking like what the new media partnership is going to be. That's around $600 million right now, maybe a little bit more. So that's obviously going to affect a lot of the next upcoming CBA, because the media rights determine so much of that CBA conversation. So we haven't got the final reporting yet, but those are the initial numbers coming out.
I mean, it seems like the media deals are doing well. I know there was some concern when ESPN dropped Sunday Night Baseball, but it seems like there's going to be an appetite for, there is an appetite for live sports, but that there's an appetite for baseball across multiple platforms. I think that's great. And I think that it's going to be good for the health of the game. It'll be interesting to see as they spread it out amongst different platforms, as they have recently with Apple TV and with Roku and all these different things. You know, I know there is some frustration from people when they can't get, their team playing in a specific like Apple TV game. It's like, well, now I can't watch it because I have to buy Apple TV. But I'm hoping that with ESPN doing this, and as we move into this new CBA in a couple of years, that the blackout problem will be fixed, that there's a streaming way to fix the blackout problem.
So Rob Manfred, I have a quote from this, said he told Puck, I'd like to get into the mode, if it's a national package, the consumer has the ability to go in, buy what he wants to watch wherever he is, and we get rid of the really questionable business concept of the blackout, meaning not letting people who want to watch, watch. Yeah. They go through at least 2028, the current deals, so there wouldn't be an ability to get rid of blackouts until the 2028 season, but it does seem like Manfred, that's like number one on his list, is to try to get rid of the blackouts, which obviously I think we've talked about a bunch. I think that was like one of our first episodes I remember being on that we talked about. So going back 4 or 5 years, it's been something we've been talking about. So I think we'd all be in favor of getting rid of blackouts.
What? So WBC final in Tokyo?
Believe so, next year.
That's crazy.
Ian, you know who, you know what everyone on the American team should wear for the WBC?
Bruce Bolts. BruceBolt.us. Let's get Bruce Bolt gloves on every player for the U.S. team. BruceBolt.us. Check it out. Signature Series, HAP Series. Use code HAP at checkout. Free shipping. Go get some golf gloves. New golf gloves. Go check them out. BruceBolt.us. I would be shocked if they do the final in Tokyo, just because you have everybody in.
That's bad reporting. It's okay. They're doing the same thing they did last time, where they have the pool in Tokyo. Teams will play in Tokyo as they did last time, but then the quarterfinals, semis, and championships again will be in Miami.
Okay. I was just thinking because of the logistics of spring training and getting guys from the States Florida in spring Tokyo. Training to like, yeah. All right, we're going to get you all to Tokyo and then and we're going to bring it all back, and then good luck starting your season. That would be kind of crazy. But
yeah, the four pools, Pool A will be played in San Juan, Puerto Rico. Pool B will be played in Houston. Pool C will be in Tokyo. And then Pool D, quarterfinals, semis, and championship will all be in Miami.
So no, nothing in Phoenix?
Nothing in Phoenix.
Wow. Surprising.
That's where Owen Casey made his Team Canada debut. They were showing the footage the other day. If Pete was in the crowd, or I think it was Pete and somebody, another Cubs prospect, maybe James Triantos, were in the crowd watching Owen Casey. He had a homer off Team Great Britain in Chase Field and in Phoenix during the last World Baseball Classic. We'll see. Probably get back.
We would always play against WBC teams in spring training. So like we'd have Team Canada would come play us, and you know, Freddie, Owen Casey, obviously the last time playing for Team Canada, and they would come. We would play like one of our spring training games against them, because then they were going to end up playing in Phoenix or whatever. So I wonder if they'll keep all those teams kind of playing against Florida teams and not.
I'd say there's a good chance of that, just to get them ready. I'm pumped for the World Baseball Classic. It's sick.
Yeah, it's so I think fun to watch. Yeah, they've done a great job with it, and I think having Netflix have the streaming rights do it is going to be good. Hopefully, they do some kind of like. I would assume if Netflix has it, they'll also do some kind of behind the scenes Netflix like documentary post, which would be great. Good for
baseball. That'll be awesome. That's what we need. The people need more baseball. Get it to the world.
Yeah. Anybody wants to watch, let them watch. Let's get them out there. I just want to talk about September.
Okay.
What a great month. What a month of baseball. What a month of baseball. It's starting to get, it's getting a little crisp in Chicago. Obviously we're not there, but I'm looking at the weather. It's 65, 70 degrees the next couple of weeks. You got college football starting, you got normal football starting, and then you got this run to playoff baseball. Like, it's just, it's an exciting time. And every year it's this time, especially with this new playoff format where so many teams are so close, like, it's just going to be an exciting month.
It's, I said it to someone the other day, fall's my favorite, like, season of the year, mainly probably because there's football and playoff baseball, which is a big factor. But I love like that crisp air, little fall golf, leaves start changing. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe I'll go apple picking. Maybe I'll go to a pumpkin patch. Who knows what I'll do? I'll experience. Tom shaking his head. Maybe I will.
You love to say these things. You're never going. There's no,
you would though.
There's no chance you'd watch like Delaware State play, you know, Shepherd in college football and over going to a pumpkin patch. You'd be like, ah, there's college football on.
That's a fair point.
The Hornets are good this year.
It's a fair point. I wouldn't be going to a pumpkin patch on a weekend. Maybe more of like a weeknight type activity when there's no sporting events on, which is going to be hard to find. So, yeah, I guess that's a great point, Tom. There's a good – I will say if I'm going to miss anything, and I love it, I would miss college football over NFL. Sundays are like – you won't see me the whole day. Like 12 hours, I don't move. I just watch football.
Can we? Why are we starting the college football season in Ireland? What's going on with that? Why is that the thing? Like with every year they start with this game in Ireland, and it's like, who is this for?
And it's just pouring rain. We're trying to grow the game, I guess. I don't know. It was weird. The game stunk.
Kansas State and Iowa State, though, it's not like we're sending our best. You know, we're sending our middle.
We're sending our most American teams. They're right in the middle of America. They're corn fed.
I guess.
But that game stunk. I didn't even treat that. I don't treat week zero as really anything. Like, obviously, I watched the game just because I love football. But I was like, this isn't it. Like, this isn't real football.
I've got a hot take for you. I think between the transfer portal and the lack of preseason games, the first month of football is tough now. Because it used to be, right, the teams would actually play together, practice, right? Whether it was a college team that had some sort of, obviously guys were transferring before, but there was some semblance of continuity generally. Yeah. Like you generally have the same starting quarterback from year to year, generally the same coaches, a lot of the same guys. Now every year, every football team is basically starting over with 60 new guys. There's no continuity at all. And then the NFL, you know, they used to have 6 preseason games. Now, I'm not advocating that they need 6 preseason games, but there used to be a reason for that they would actually, like, try to work out all the kinks and have it be ready to go. And it's like Caleb Williams has played 3/4 of a game, and we're like, all right, I guess he knows Ben Johnson's new offense now. Here he goes. He's going to go out and take over the offense. And it's like, does he, though? Like, maybe he should have – he's barely played. Like, there's no – the first couple games feel like real tune-ups now.
Ian?
We've gone very much football. That wasn't my intent talking about September. I'm just gonna reel it back.
Oh, he cut us off.
We're in the middle of a conversation. Sorry. Cut us off in the middle of a conversation.
Sorry, I'm gonna reel it back a hair.
Ian, real quick before we reel it back, who since he got week one?
Nebraska.
Ooh, I think that's Thursday night too, isn't it?
At Arrowhead Thursday night. Big game.
Wow. Look at you.
Recently engaged, will probably be there. This is my point. My point about September.
You made your point, and then you got up and left me and Tom alone, which you know we're going to lean football idea. At that point. That's on idea. You.
But I was trying to head here. Are the Yankees Red Sox done?
Red Sox own them.
But they have one more series, or is that it?
believe they have one more series.
So we have one more with St. Louis. We have one more with Cincy, and we have one more with Pittsburgh. Besides that, the division's done. And I'm pretty sure Dodgers-Padres is done. So, like, we're done with the Brewers. We have one more with St. Louis, one more with Cincy, but we're done with the Brewers. I think Dodgers-Padres is done. It's just interesting with this balanced schedule. So when you get to September and you're trying to make up ground on a team, or you have two teams fighting for a division, and then they don't play each other, like, for the last month or month and a half of the season. Like, it's pretty interesting with this balanced schedule. We're going to see Atlanta for the first time, and we got six with them over the course of kind of a week, 2 weeks in September. See Tampa for the first time.
Red Sox play Yankees one more time, September 12 to 14.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy with this schedule, because usually in the old format, you know, we would be, September would be a bunch of division games. You know, you would,
like,
be
decides seeing, the division. Yeah,
you'd be seeing every team in the division in September. So, yeah, it's interesting.
Do you end with the Cardinals every year? I feel like every year you end with the Cardinals.
No, we've ended with Cincy actually a decent amount in the last couple of years.
2021, yeah, you ended with the Cardinals.
We generally have the Cardinals in late September at some point. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I was there. I was at Bush. No big deal. Didn't get activated. I don't care. It's not fine. I don't care. I sleep well at night. I don't care.
I think last year it might have been Brewers was one of the last, and
Ian's just not acknowledging Dakota's melt.
No, we're just gonna
we're powering through.
It's the second time, and we'll be right back. No, we won't. The second time this episode, we're trying to just.
I think you finished with Cincy last year. I think you are correct.
Yeah, I think Cincy last year. I know Milwaukee. I think maybe 2 years ago we were in Milwaukee. So, yeah, there is you're ending with a division opponent, but yeah, it's just interesting not seeing one of the teams that you're competing against for like the last 6 weeks of the season.
It stinks you don't play the Brewers again, because like Brewers in like middle to end of September, and say it's like a 3-game race. Like, that's electric. Like, that's what the people want to see. So that's why I get the balanced schedule, but I think that is a big miss of not, like, stacking those division games late to really, like, determine divisional winners. Like, if Yankees or Red Sox played the Blue Jays 6 games in September, like, they could overtake the Blue Jays or whatever. Like, any division you want to pick, like, teams could make a run by matching up that much that late.
Yeah, and you either have to give it up on the front end, where, like, we didn't see the Cardinals until June. So you either have to give it up on the front end or on the back end. And it's just interesting how the schedules play out. And yeah, when they're making the schedules, it's impossible to know who's going to be fighting for the division at the end of the year.
True. Yeah, that's a good point. There's not much you can do about that. But that's why I would have liked to seen like a Brewers series in September, like even if it was like the second week of September, like just so we had that chance.
Yeah.
On schedule stinks.
Yeah, I don't like it. Give us the old one.
Let's get the people to Sloan Screen Time. Sloan is the world's leading manufacturer of commercial plumbing systems at the forefront of the green building movement. If you're looking for faucets, flush-o-meters, sink systems, whatever you need, Sloan Valve.
So Danny's just like, after the live show, he's just done with hot takes.
Yeah, he's
like,
done.
I don't think you've given him a single one since the live show.
I think he ran out. Do you want to do Monday or Tuesday?
I'm doing today's 5:51. It's 4 o'clock where I am.
I got 1:27.
I was surprised you're over an hour, honestly. I had to do today's just for my own pride.
3 hours, 56.
That's nice, not bad. Tom. That's nice, Tom. Tom. I was sub 12 the last 2 days, so that's, you know, baby steps. Baby steps, Dakota.
That's episode 273 of the Compound Podcast, presented by Parse Rum. Go to Benny's, get your Parse, send us a photo. We will see you next week.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.